And welcome to the Streaming Conscious Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Telesian Cox, and this is my co-host, Joe Powell Stout.
I'm not a co-host. I'm an equal host. We're both hosts. No. It's too late now. It's already, the damage has been done. Don't you dare. I swear to God, you're the worst.
And welcome to Streaming Conscious Podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm your host, Joel Screwed Up Cox, and this is my host, Joe is right stout.
No, I'm okay with that. That works for me. I appreciate that. Hey, Joel, they can't see you dancing, so that's bad podcasting. Stop dabbing and just talk. What are we talking about today, Joel?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I feel like you should have been prepared for that question. It's almost like it came out of the blue and you weren't expecting it. Perhaps you forgot we were hosting a podcast, or perhaps you forgot that I asked that at the beginning of every single podcast.
You're not going to answer this one? I know you won't.
Bullshit. You don't know what I'm going to do.
Who are the three people who have been the most influential to you?
Ooh. Most influential to me. That's a tough one. My mama, Jesus, and Elvis Presley. Who's the most influential? Okay, why don't you answer this question? I'll see if I can follow this one up. I will answer this. I just don't know if I have that.
I got a couple, maybe. I don't know. So one, my dad.
Okay.
Didn't realize this until later down the road. As you know, Papa Cox is a very strict man.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's a very knowledgeable man. And he taught me not to give up and to just do what you're told until you get it done.
He can be rough around the edges, but he's very motivational. He's got a heart of gold.
Supposedly.
Yeah. He's got a heart of gold and kidneys of stone. Mm-hmm. I assumed that was going to be one of your answers.
If you asked me that like 15, 20 years ago, I might not have said that. But now that I'm a grown-ass adult, I see the error in my ways.
It's kind of crazy how you respect your parents differently as you become an adult. Obviously, all joking aside, my mom has been a very influential person. I do not agree with my mom on many, 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 many things, and I have not been quiet about that.
I'm pretty sure your mother taught you how not to be stubborn and how to actually listen to other people.
No, my mom's extremely stubborn and she doesn't listen to anybody.
That's, learned not to be stubborn.
Right, I learned by her bad example. I learned what not to do from her. No, my mom has a lot of great qualities too, though. Like, I don't want to I don't want to talk ill of my mom.
I'm not saying your mother has only bad qualities. I'm saying you've learned a lot from her.
No, I've said a lot of bad qualities about my mom is what I'm saying. So, but my mom is, she's taught me a lot of how I treat other people comes a lot from my mom, because my mom herself might be very stubborn and she might be a bit ridiculous, but my mom's one of the most kind, loving people you've ever met. She's accepting and understanding of people, and my mom taught me in life that she's the reason why I don't just presume things about people. You never know someone's story. Like, everybody says you don't know someone until you walk a mile in their shoes kind of thing. My mom legitimately treats and acts like that. That's not just that's not some saying in her life. Like, that's something that she lives by. That's not a motto. That is how she lives her life, and that's something that I got from my mom. She's always been accepting and understanding of everyone. She taught me that you don't judge people and you don't presume things about people. So, and I think that I'm probably better at being understanding to people than most people are. I'm very forgiving and very, very, I'm not judging. So that's something that I got from my mom, and I appreciate that and I respect that immensely. My mom's got plenty of faults, more than I can count. And I won't start even naming them because we only have so much time in the day, but that is not one of them. She's a very loving, kind-hearted person. So, yeah, my mom's one.
Hashtag blessed.
Do you forget people can't see us?
No, I don't. I did on purpose because I can't be embarrassed and no one saw it. I mean, my mom's in there too. I mean, my dad taught me about the work ethic. My dad taught me about getting stuff done. My mom basically taught me that pretty much anything's possible. Like, I've seen my mother go into houses. Like, when my aunt died, the place was like a pigsty. And she basically taught me how to clean. Like, you can take basically a crack house and make it look like a 5-star hotel. It is possible.
I imagine your mom is that type of woman. Like, mm-hmm. she's very positive. She's well motivated in a lot of ways too.
Well, I've also learned not to freak out about everything. Like, my mom's a school nurse, and she's at my school. A kid basically cut himself or did something really bad, and they're running to go get her, and she's walking down the hall. Why aren't you hurrying? What? If I hurt myself getting down there, I can't help him.
Right. Right.
Like, she's always calm. Like, yeah. I never. If my mom freaks out, yeah, freak out. Right. My mom's calm, it's okay.
No, that's I like that answer too. Actually, my uncle, because I grew up, my dad split when I was very little, so I didn't really have a father figure in my life. And there was a couple.
You could have had mine.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. I'm not begrudging it.
I was
fortunate enough to have some friends and some family that's kind of stepped into that role. A few of my friends, you know, just a little, my buddies, both their parents actually, Tina and Russ, were kind of surrogate parents for me. My buddy Brian, his dad Wade. Wade was like a friend and also a father character for me a lot also. But the one that I would have to say really stepped up the most and kind of taught me what I did learn about how to be a man was my Uncle John, my mom's brother. And he's one of those, he's patient to a degree that's unhuman. I remember when I was, I think I was like 16, he used to let me take my grandma's car all the time. He would just like, you know, if she was going to, she used to go to Philadelphia to visit my aunt. And if she went away or if for whatever reason, if they didn't need the car, he would say to me, take the car. Because he knew my mom didn't have a car and we didn't drive. And, you know, I was 16, I had my license and I wanted to go out and about. So he used to throw me the keys every now and then and go, hey, bring it back Monday. And I would take the car and I'd bring it back and the radio would be blasting. And when my grandma got in it, he would go, hey, just don't do that again. Stuff like that. So he was always very calm with anything I did wrong. Like, he never yelled. My mom was a yeller. My mom screamed about everything. My mom used to beat the hell out of us and she used to yell about everything. That was not one of her upsides. But my uncle was the exact opposite of that. He was the most, he was a very patient, very understanding, very forgiving person. And I learned a lot of that from him. But there was one time where I never asked for the car. He always like just threw me the keys. He was always like, yeah, take the car. You have your grandma's car while she's gone for the week or for the weekend or whatever. But one time, I was 18 actually. No, I was 17. I'm sorry. I was 17 and I wanted to, it was the only time I ever asked if I could borrow the car because my buddy Brian, it was his birthday. So we were all going out and we wanted to went to the bowling alley. So I borrowed the car. And it was January, it was icy, it was slick, and I was coming out of the bowling alley, and I stopped the car, like I should have stopped, but it was this huge ice patch, and the car just slowly kept going, and it slammed into another car. It didn't slam into, I hit into another car, tore up the bumper, but it was like it was on a hill, so I did slam into enough that I really fucked up the car pretty bad. So now I have to take the car back and I have to tell my uncle I wrecked the car. Now, any other intelligent human being would have been like, you son of a bitch, you took the car and you broke. My uncle was like, shit happens. He was just so cool about it. Like, he just, like, let it ride. And it was like, it was a big deal. It wasn't just like the insurance was going to cover it. Nobody, like, it money had to come out of somewhere. And I think he ended up even having to pay for it because I can't remember what the deal was with the insurance. It was my fault, for sure. Or at least I was my responsibility. There was no yelling, there was no punishment, there was just shit happens, life goes on. And then he took me to McDonald's for lunch. Like, I wrecked the car and not only am I not getting in trouble, you're buying me lunch? Like, I don't think you know how punishment works. And because I hadn't ever really been exposed a lot to that. My mom was, I used to get beat for not closing the refrigerator door fast enough, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, my uncle is another one of those people. He's hugely influential. He did a lot and gave a lot to me and taught me a lot of how to be a decent person and a good human being. So he's another one of my answers, my uncle.
My boss, Nick Towson, from high school.
Okay.
He taught me there's always an easier way and to check the log files.
Do you have more to that? That's your.
Well, basically, like.
I mean, I don't want to. I'm not trying to push your
answer. It was my first job out of in high school. And, like, he taught me how to, like, crimp cables and stuff, and taught me how to run stuff, and just gave me responsibilities. Like, I was a 17-year-old kid. He's like, here, run these network cables and set up this computer. Like, I got to play to hardware that I should not have been touching because I wasn't a professional. I was just some stupid kid that got hired to do shit for minimum wage.
Right, right. Okay, so I don't know. I mean, as far as bosses go or teachers have been, I've had some good ones, but that actually stand out in my brain. I did have a teacher, Mr. Neve, and he was a substitute. He kind of came in partway through the year, and he really had this just this amazing attitude of he stepped in, and it was Pittsburgh Public, and there was just a lot of negativity and hostility in school, and he came in and said, just because that's the way everybody is doesn't mean that's the way you have to be. And he taught that to an entire class. It was really like one of those oh captain my captain kind of moments where we had this teacher. You don't understand that reference?
No.
Now I can't remember the name of the book. It's a movie also, where he teaches the. It's oh shit. What's the name of that? Great teacher, and everybody stands on their desk and oh captain my captain.
Oh wait, is it dead guy, a clown. Patch Adams.
No. You're thinking Dead Poets Society.
Okay.
That was also another great. But okay. So, anyways, regardless, not important. But he was this wonderful teacher.
Robin Williams.
Yes. Catch up, Joel. Anyways, so Mr. Neve was a great teacher, and he gave us all these. Without going through all of the stories and teaching the moral lessons all over again on the show, which we don't have time for that, he was one of those guys that, as a teacher, he was probably one of the ones that, even though he's a substitute and I didn't only had him for a couple months, he influenced me greatly as far as morality and to do the right thing kind of thing. He was very good with a lot of. Just in general, he it wasn't just me. He taught an entire class that way. My buddy Brian's dad.
He taught an entire generation.
Wow. I don't know whatever happened to him. He disappeared after that, and he didn't substitute another class. At least not that. I mean, not in my school. He didn't. But he probably if I ran into him on the street, I wouldn't recognize him today. I guarantee he would not remember me or my name. He probably didn't even know me whenever I was in his class, hardly. But he quietly influenced me greatly. And I have not had a lot of teachers that I was proud of. Not that I've had some shit teachers too. I had a lot of teachers that should not have gotten into that job. They got into it for the wrong reason, and that's why they had to teach in Pittsburgh Public. I've had some good teachers too.
But, well, I have a surprise for you. Outside that door,
Mr. Neve, come on in. My buddy Brian's dad also. I worked with him for a while.
You get three. That's four.
Okay, fine. Brian's dad. Wait.
No.
Was very he was an amazing guy and
Mr. Neve and
Neve
and Brian's dad got in the fight. Who'd win?
In a fist fight? Mm-hmm. Brian's dad. Wade's a badass. Wade's cool as shit too. He's like one of those goofy. First of all, they would never get into a fight because they're neither one that kind of confrontational. But if it was like some kind of Thunderdome, they have to fight kind of thing.
It's the apocalypse. My money's on. They've both been caught by the slavers. They're both thrown into cage fight.
They're both kind-hearted, loving souls that would never hurt a fly. But if I had to put money on who has the more muscle, Wade's a lot more street savvy. He grew up a little more rough and tumble. He's been through a little bit more. So
I love an underdog. I'm going for Mr. Neve.
I mean, if they had to have like a if they were both on Jeopardy,
no, my money's on Mr. Neve.
But in an actual fist
two
fight,
winner, one leave.
Why would they be in a fist fight?
I'm telling you, it's Thunderdome. It's the apocalypse.
Yeah, no, that's I'm gonna say. All right, Next up, what alternate sources of energy might we need to turn to in the next 50 to 60 years? How can we provide them? Would you like to tackle that one first, or do you want me to jump in on it?
Sure. First, as a nation, we need to up the game on solar and wind.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that.
And then, going for the dark horse.
Okay.
Cow methane.
Really? Going for methane?
Well, okay. They're bitching about all the cows farting inside of the ozone. Let's capture them farts.
That doesn't even sound real to me. Like, that doesn't feel like it's a real problem. I remember that being a thing that people said at one point in time, but I can't imagine that's legitimately a concern. Let's go back to the who's the actor? Ed Begley? Ed Bailey? Bagley? You know what I'm talking about? He's real big on energy and I think it's Ed Begley is his name.
Ed Begley Jr.
Maybe. Yeah, probably. That sounds about right. Yep, that's him, Ed Begley Jr. So he's one of like the foremost leading experts on this. And throughout the world, other countries, I want to say like Switzerland maybe, I might be mistaken here, but there's a lot of other countries that have become so practical on their resources that solar power is a huge thing in a lot of other places. Recycling, I think it's like Germany or Switzerland or somewhere, one of the European places, where they have become so capable through recycling that they literally have to import trash from other places to maintain their recycling plants. So as far as like energy sources go,
geothermal.
Give me a breakdown of that. What's geothermal?
It's using the heat from the earth.
Oh, okay. So that's what it sounds like.
Here's a fact you didn't know.
Okay.
The frost line is about 36 inches.
I did not know that.
So basically, if you go down 36 inches in the ground, it will not go below 30 degrees.
Okay.
So one trick, my dad had a friend who was obsessed with this stuff. If you took, say, a copper pipe, and you ran it, you went down below the frost line, we'll say like 10 feet.
Okay.
The temperature of that is always, say, like, I don't know what the temperature is, I'll say it's 63 degrees.
Okay.
So, if you could get the heat out of the earth by running pipes into the earth and back out, running coolant or whatever through, that temperature is always 60 degrees. It never goes up, never goes down. It stays the same constant temperature. So, if you could somehow use that to circulate the heat from there, you only have to heat your house at seven degrees to get 7 degrees.
That's interesting.
Compared to the, hey, it's 40 degrees outside, you gotta go from 40 to 60.
Why are we not funding this?
I mean, it's slightly impractical, I guess, but I'm guessing there's ways.
I mean, is it really impractical, or is it just one of those things that there's no money to be made in that?
There's no money to be made in it.
And that's what makes it impractical. Yeah. Like, there's, and everybody, maybe not everybody, but there have been, say, let's call them rumors, just for lack of proof on it, that there have been car engines that are designed that can run off of things like water. They can run off of, they can turn a gallon of gasoline into thousands of miles instead of 30 miles to a gallon, things like that. What happens is the GM and the Ford company and all these places, they purchase these designs so that they can suffocate them, so that they can continue to do, because the oil companies are involved. Yeah. And so really, I believe that as far as resources go, yes, we are depleting the Earth's natural resources because there's money to be made in it as long as it exists. Once they are gone, are we going to turn dark? Is this going to be like an apocalypse where everybody's going to have to switch over to a bicycle? Absolutely not.
It's going to be like Waterworld.
It's not going to turn into Waterworld. It's not going to turn into some post-apocalyptic film. It's not going to be like we're not going to turn Resident Evil or anything like that.
I'm hoping for Mad Max. I got my ass chaps ready. Everybody's like, hey, where's his chaps? I'm going to have ass chaps. I'm like, oh, look what up, bitches.
So it's not going to, we have the technology, we just are not utilizing it. It's the same thing. I used to work for the cable company for a period of time. I worked in the call center. What happened was the internet speeds, I can't remember how many gig it was at the time. Let's say it was
what,
like,
year?
A long time ago. It doesn't matter.
Give me a year.
I don't remember.
Give me a year.
You give me a year.
No, because I'm trying to tell you what the speed is of that year.
Who gives a shit? It was whatever the speed was. Let's say it was 6. I don't know. It doesn't fucking matter.
Year?
They were, yes, the year was 6. The year was 6. AD. And, but they said we're capable of reaching the speeds of 28, but we only offer 10. Because next year we can bump up to 12 and charge more, and then the year, and then we can bump up to 14 and 8. So they were capable.
2004.
Yes, it was 2004. Sure, why not? It actually might have been. I don't remember. It was around that time.
Based off the speed you're giving me.
Oh, that's, I just made up numbers. But this is a legitimate conversation that was had from one of our higher ups. Was, you know, great news, the company's gonna do this, and we sold this money, because they, you know, like bosses love to come in and tell you how much money the company made. It's like, you give a flying fuck. I'm like, the company made this much more. We made $7 million more dollars. Well, how does that affect my paycheck? Like, I think it's one.
You
of those,
get a paycheck, slave. Get back to work.
Exactly. Like, okay, if we made that much more money, why don't you give me a pay raise? But companies love to do that, and that drives me nuts. And that was one of those things I always kind of spoke. Even like where I work now, they love to come in and go, we sold, we did, blah, 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 blah. And I go, how does that affect me? Well, it does, but it's good for the company. Well, what's good for the company isn't necessarily good for me, because you guys are fucking me over on this kind of thing. You know, without being a naysayer, without causing all that and getting into all that one, we're capable of resources and energy sources that we are not currently using. So I am not concerned about it. I know that once we deplete the Earth's reliable coal source and natural gases and et cetera, or whatever we're chugging through, we're going to have backups. I'm not saying it's okay that we're draining these resources, because I don't really know. People always say, like, so gasoline. We literally went to war with a country about a decade ago just because we wanted to get gas. We wanted to have those resources. Now, we're talking about using up these resources, but I don't even know if that's necessarily a bad thing. How is it negatively affecting the Earth that we're pulling all the oil out of the Earth to use it as gasoline? I just assume it is, because I'm told that it is. I'm not saying it is a good thing or is a bad thing. I'm saying I don't personally have the education to know whether or not it is, but I accept that it is because that's what I'm told I'm supposed to think.
Public school education, everybody.
That's exactly, okay, yeah, maybe so, but really, like, okay, remember whenever, I don't know if you remember this, but there was probably, it was like, I think it was like 6-7 years ago, there was this big issue with, they found something in wine. And it was like Trader Joe's wine had like something in it that was like, oh my God, let's all freak out. It had nitrogen or something in it. Like, that was, and everybody started boycotting it, and you can't get their wine from Trader Joe's anymore because it's so bad for you, and blah, 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 blah. Turns out that's an active ingredient in all wine. All wine. They made this big ordeal that it was in wine, and it's like, that's like saying, oh shit, there's grapes in wine. No shit, that's part of what it is. Like, it was this big ordeal that like, but everybody freaked out because we're told that that's a bad thing. We don't know. I mean, I'm sure somebody with some level of education does, but I am not that person, and the mainstream society is also not that person. So,
interesting you said that for the last part of this conversation.
All right, what do we got?
Does protesting / boycotting really do anything?
Yes, I believe it does. I think that this country was founded on our own independence.
I'm not saying like back in the day where, hey, well, okay. I'm not talking Boston Tea Party, let's get the guns and take everybody down.
Why not? Why are we not talking about that?
Because it's 2019. I'm talking about protests of nowadays, of I'm not buying Pepperidge Farms anymore because they said my dog smells funny.
Okay, well, and that's, but yes, that it's the same concept now as it was back then. Okay, it's a similar concept now. Has it changed? Yes. You look at things like, trying to maybe make an example on this one. Has there been boycotts that have been taken the wrong way? You look at Kaepernick. He took a knee during the national anthem because he felt like people were being mistreated. I'm not saying I agree with him. I'm absolutely not saying I agree with him. I think that was a shitty way to do that, but he got his word out there. I don't even agree that what he's saying was necessarily right. All I'm saying was he protested it. He boycotted it. Now, it became national news. There were teams and other players all throughout that were on one side or the other of this. So whether or not it, however successful it was, it grew attention to it. So yes, I think that boycotting and protesting things absolutely does have an effect on it. The companies have changed their attitude. They've had people that they support. I think Nike was actually had Kaepernick was one of their spokespeople, or was set to be, whenever this all went down. And then they said, nope, we're not going to have him, because people were like, how dare you? So he protested, and then people protested him protesting. So yes, I do think that they affect and they have influence. I think that it's an underutilized resource, is protest. The masses have more influence than we believe ourselves to have. So if we collectively as a group of people decide we don't agree with something, we fight it, we protest it, a change can be made.
And there's the problem. I believe that boycotting and protesting can work if people organize properly. I feel like people do not organize properly anymore with boycotts and protesting, and that there's so much boycotting out there of products that it's just like, okay, so I can't use anything. Like, I know friends like, don't drink Bad Brother pasta, they don't like gay people. Don't eat white,
don't eat white people.
No. Chick-fil-A, because they don't like gay people.
Yeah.
And, like, you look, and then, like, for example, you can't go to the Goodwill, you can't go to the Salvation Army. Like, every place that, like, for donating money is now, if you donate to the wrong place, you're supporting child abuse, you're supporting this and that.
Right.
So, like, even trying to do something nice, like, you've got to sit down and do research for, like, 2 days to find out, well, in 2012, they called someone an F.
Yeah. Oh, okay, like, so, but here's the thing, is it would work if people care enough about the situation. The problem is that sometimes the protests are underfunded, or they're misunderstood. There's not enough support to it. People have known for how long that Walmart is bringing the majority of its products. We're sending our money overseas. Walmart is the biggest shopping company in the world, really. But here in America, we're like, buy American, love America, goddamn America is the greatest country in the whole wide world. People out there, you know,
America,
right?
Fuck yeah.
And then these are the same people that are shopping at Walmart that's sending the money overseas to bring in product.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when you look at it that way, it's like, do we want to support American products and American jobs? Yeah, absolutely we do. Not enough to pay the extra 30 cents for our box of macaroni and cheese, though.
So here's a hypothetical. I'm not saying I agree with this or disagree with this. Well, I don't know. I'm basically saying, hypothetically, you want to support X. I'll make it general. You want to support XYZ products because of ABC.
Okay.
But what if the XYZ product sucks?
Well, then they suck. Here's the thing. You drive, maybe not you necessarily, but let's say I'm driving down the street and I see some kids have a lemonade stand. I don't even like lemonade, but I may stop my car and throw these kids $5 for a glass of lemonade that's probably maybe nasty lemonade, because I want to support the mentality of these kids that they started their own business and they are they're chasing they're learning a valuable lesson here. They're learning to work for what they want, as opposed to just going to their parents and saying, give me money. These kids are working for it. So that, to me, is I want to support something like that. I know that's on a completely different scale. I'm talking, we're talking lemonade stand versus, you know, major businesses or culture or whatever. But yes, that's something that I would support just based on the fact that I have that feeling towards it. I want to support ABC because of XYZ kind of thing. Not because I want the product or whatever. So it depends on how you perceive it and how valuable it is to you, how much you support it, how much you can get behind it. And the problem is a lot of people can't get behind certain amounts of things, but you have to make that judgment on your own, and it has to be something that enough people care enough about. Like, if you said boycott Walmart, you'd lose that battle in a heartbeat, because people perceive Walmart as all American whenever they do send their business overseas. And that's all I have to say about that. Anyways, Joel, take us on out of here. All right, everybody, thank you for joining us on this wonderful, fantastic journey down the minds of Joel and Joe through Stream of Consciousness podcast. Be sure to join us here next week. And follow and like, subscribe on streamofconsciousnesspodcast.com, on Facebook, on Spotify, and Google Play. I think that's everything. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. All right, everyone, we love you dearly.
You're okay.
And disco.